Lord, being our helper this morning, we'll just read a couple of verses and I'll share what's on my heart this morning, Brother Dennis. I'll let go of what you said. Good to be good season, be ready in season and out of season. I got my notice 5 minutes ago. And I say glory. Matthew 27, verse 45. When you got your place, say amen. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You can be seated this morning. Right here is the pinnacle of our salvation. Right here is where Christ is fixing to say the last words from the cross. He's fixing to say, it's finished, and give up the ghost. And that's what we need to preach about. That's what we need to talk about. That's what we need to witness about. That's what we need to tell this lost and dying world about, what Christ did for us on Calvary's old rugged cross. There's been book after book written about Calvary, the seven sayings of Calvary, all the things that happened on Calvary, the walk to Calvary. There's dozens of books out there, and then we got this blessed special book about what happened on Calvary. There ain't too much that can be said about Calvary. We can't talk too much about what Christ did for us on that day over there on Golgotha's Hill. We can't say too much about what the love that held Him there for you and I. We can't say too much about that price that was paid for you and I. But I tell you what, this is the thought of my message. Because of Calvary, there are some things I just can't say. Because of Calvary, there are some things I just can't say. Number one, I can't say that I'm not favored. I can't say that I'm not favored. Boy, if you're sitting here saved by the grace of God, you can't say you ain't favored neither. Boy, let me tell you, I don't know why He looked down on a 13-year-old, snotty-nosed, backseat-sitting, girl-chasing boy and decided to save him one day at Mountain View Baptist Church, but He did, and I love Him for it tonight. He favored me. He favors us. I tell you what, that word favored, it's a real special word. It means to regard or treat with partiality or to prefer and endue with special honor. Boy, I tell you, the God of heaven would pay us that kind of attention. The God of heaven looked down on something. Just a speck of dirt is all I am. Nothing worthy of the Lamb. Over there in Psalms chapter number 8 and verse number 3, this is how favored we are. When I consider thy heavens the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with honor and with glory. Boy, you tell me we ain't a favored people. You tell me that the ones that God's looked down on here and saved by His wonderful, marvelous grace. You tell me that the ones that He ain't even dealt with, you're highly favored. What my Bible tells me by a thrice holy God. Well, I'm a favored person today. Not only that, but it means a kind act to stoop. Or to stoop in kindness, to grant graciously, be merciful, to have pity on. Boy, let me tell you what kind of pity He's got. Psalms 40 says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He came to where I was. I couldn't get to where He is. He had to come to where I was. But one great and glorious day, there's going to be a change for those of us that are saved by the grace of God. It's not going to be no more Him down here where we at. We're going to get to be up there where He's at. Boy, I'm looking forward to that day. Boy, I've been granted graciously and been merciful on. He's had pity on me. I tell you, I love Him this morning. I love Him and praise Him. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings, and He hath put a new song in my mouth. I don't go the places I used to go. I don't do the things I used to do. I don't say the things I used to say. I try not to have the thoughts I used to have. But thanks be to God, something new in me. And it ain't wore off. It ain't got old. It ain't tarnished. It ain't rusted. It ain't grown up. I'm looking forward one day when I get to see Him in that glorified body. It's going to be wonderful. Well, I can't say I'm not favored. I can't say I'm not forgiven. Boy, that word forgiven, have you ever stopped and looked up that word forgiven? That's a powerful word right there. It means to pardon. To pardon. You know, I'm in law enforcement. All y'all know I'm a deputy and I deal with criminals and the justice system all the time. And boy, we'll go to court and somebody will get sentenced and they'll say, well, you've already done enough time in jail, we'll put you on parole. Or we'll put you on probation. Well, every morning when that man or that woman wakes up, they still got that cloud hanging over their head. They still got that crime is just laying on their back and laying on their shoulder. Boy, day after day, week after week, month after month. And even if they finish serving all their probation or parole time good and they finish it all up and they get ready to go get a job and they do a background check on them, boy, it's still right there. But one day when at the age of 13 I come up and knelt down at the floor at the altar of an old Baptist church and I cried out for forgiveness, I didn't get put on probation. I didn't get put on parole. I got pardoned. It got wiped away. All my sins are gone. As far as the east is from the west, he did away with them. I went to the highest court in the land, and the judge said, not guilty. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace and your goodness. Boy, that word forgiven, I love that word. Boy, and it means to restore. Boy, if you're out there wandering around in the sickness of this old world and you're one of his, you can come back. You can come back. I did. Saved at the age of 13. Walked out of home at the age of 17. Joined the army and for about the next 25, 26 years. Lived like a hellion. Lived like the rest of the world does. Did everything they did. Tried to get as far away from God as I could get. Tried to turn loose of Him. Tried to run away from Him. But thanks be unto God. Every time I turned around, He was right there. He never left me. Boy, but I tell you what, one day I heard a song. That's why I finally come back to church. Mom and Daddy, every time I go to the house, Dad say, son, you need to come go to church with us. I say, okay, Daddy, and I go about my business. I mean, he never pressed me, he never harped on me, he never browbeat me about it. He'd just say, son, you need to get back in church. Well, then one day the Holy Ghost come tugged on my heartstrings and I went to church. Boy, and I was sitting there and they got to singing, How Great Thou Art. Boy, and they didn't even get to the chorus, and I busted that aisle wide open, run up there and fell on my face, and I cried out to God for forgiveness again. Boy, He did. He restored me. He brought me back into the family. He welcomed me back into the fold. He should have broke my back and kicked me off in the deepest pit of hell, but He didn't. He restored me and brought me back into His full grace and His full love. Boy, I tell you, that word forgiveness, it's a powerful word. Oh, it means to preserve. I'm sealed to the day of redemption. So every devil in hell, you can't have me. Man can't erase my name off that book. Satan himself can't take it off that book. I'm preserved. It also means to bestow. Boy, I've had some things bestowed on me I hadn't deserved. Boy, that's what grace and mercy is. Boy, grace is getting what I didn't deserve. Mercy's not getting what I did deserve. Boy, He's been good to me. Ain't no telling how many devils He's kept off you just getting here this morning. Ain't no telling how many cars He steered this way or how many kids or cows, whatever you come across. Ain't no telling what He's kept off you today. And if nothing else, if you've been able to walk through them doors, you ought to raise your hand toward heaven and say, thank you, Lord, for letting me be here in your house. Not only can I say I'm not favored, I can't say I'm not forgiven. But there's one thing I can't say, I've ever been forsaken. I've never been forsaken. Boy, do you know we can make that statement and our Lord and Savior can't make it. We can't make it. That word forsaken means to leave behind in some place. Boy, I tell you, some of the places I walked into, some of the doors I walked through, some of the places I woke up, He should have left me there. He should have left me there to my own wiles, my own ways. He should have left me there to figure it out on my own, to get out under my own circumstances. But thanks be unto God, He's never left me behind. To abandon or desert. And I see this all the time. I see parents that will abandon and desert their children, their own children. I mean, I understand that. That escapes me. I can't. I mean, and I guess that's why God can't me, because He can't understand it. He has never left any of us. He's never walked away from us. He's never abandoned us. He's never deserted us. He's never left us in some place or to leave helpless. Boy, sometimes I've felt helpless. When I thought about it, I've tried to do it on my own. When I try to say, well, Joe can do this. I can do this. I'll do this. But when I get to that point when I finally say, God, I can't do this. And He says, you're right. That's what I've been waiting on. He'll say, that's what I've been waiting to hear, is that you can't. That's what He wants to hear, not what you can do, but what you can't do. That's what God wants from us, is what we can't. He don't want our cans, He wants our can'ts. It also means to leave in straits. I can't imagine what my Savior went through on that cross. I can't imagine what He went through before He went to the cross. The trials, the scourging, the crown of thorns, the mocking, the spitting, the slapping, the marching through the streets, carrying your cross and being ridiculed and humiliated, hanging naked on a cross. I just can't imagine that. But just to be able to say, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? And I can't say that. I cannot say that. He's never left me. He's never forsook me. Hebrews 13 and 5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness. And be content with such things as you have, for He has said, this is one of the greatest promises in the Bible. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Boy, if you ever get your heart wrapped around, not your head, your heart. If you ever get your heart wrapped around that, it'll help you this morning. I know it's helped me because of Calvary. There's some things I just can't say. Thank you, preacher.